Ben Healy. A few years ago, you could be forgiven for not really knowing who he was, but since then, he's now become a well-known and respected rider who has mastered the long-range breakaway. From that famous victory on stage 6 of the Tour de France, where he beat the likes of Quinn Simmons, Simon Yates, and Matthew Vanderpoel, to spending a few days in the yellow jersey, to that iconic third place at the Kigali World Championships. In this video, I want to speak to Ben Healy to try to understand what his secret to success is. And we're going to discuss tactics, aero, bike setup, nutrition, and racecraft to find out how Ben's positioned himself as one of the best. Okay, Ben, firstly, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. And, big congratulations on a mega season last year. I feel like you've established yourself as the super breakaway specialist. So, tell us all your secrets.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start with this?
Yeah. I guess how I just became a breakaway rider, I guess is the best way to put it, is maybe a good place to start.
Yeah, take us right back to the beginning.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it just came from the nature of who I am and how I always raced without really consciously thinking about it, and that's just aggressive and straight from the gun, you know,
like relentless,
pretty much. I guess I just remember, like, as a junior, just going to some races and like thinking, like, why the hell am I so like just dead in the end? And it's like, and I'm thinking back now and I'm like, that's because I was just attacking from this K0 like just relentlessly, and then of course I didn't have any legs left in the end, but yeah, every now and again it paid off, and managed to get away and like take a big scalp on people, like, unexpectedly.
So it feels like a skill that has just been refined and refined and refined, like, I was going to say almost until perfection, but I'm going to say to perfection at this point. I mean, if we look back at, what was it, stage 6 at the Tour, when, you know, that attack from the breakaway to go and win, I mean, That's perfection, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty perfect moment, to be honest. But it's not always that smooth, I guess. But yeah, that's exactly it. It's just it's been a process throughout my whole career, really, and just getting better and better at it each year, I think.
So when it comes to the process of trying to get into the break, it's obviously incredibly difficult. Is this something that's purely by chance? Is it just a case of probability? If you're just like, right, follow every single move, like, How does this come about?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think that's one of the things that I've been working on this last year, and really trying to refine how I do things. And before, it was just go with everything until I can't go anymore.
Cover all bases.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it's a good day for me, just keep going until I can't anymore. And for sure, sometimes you pay for that. And I think I found that out in the 2024 tour, and yeah, refined to that. Kind of forced me to refine the way that I raced going into this tour, and just trying to be a lot more selective, and really, really looking at group composition and places to go, and the stages that suit me. And that was stage 6 in the Tour this year, you know.
Are there any sort of like indicators or things you're looking at when the race is starting to try and establish itself, or is it a case of relying on that sort of real gut racing instinct that's developed over all the years?
Yeah, I think if we're using the Tour as an example, it's like you're looking where the intermediate sprints are, and who are the other guys attacking, and what the group compositions and stuff like this, you know. And normally now in the Tour, if it's a day that looks like a breakaway stage, a lot of the time it's going on for an hour or plus. So if you're attacking from the gun, you're gonna pay for that later.
So do you rely on information that you're able to see in front of you, or are you getting that from other riders in the team car as well?
Yeah, a bit of everything, to be honest. You know, it's talking to other guys in the peloton if they're interested, and seeing how other teams are racing on the road, and then also what the DSs are saying in the car. So just using all of that to make a best educated guess of when to go.
So once you've made it into this breakaway, whatever stage it is, whatever race, the kind of break's established itself, and it feels like, not quite the pressure's off, but you know that it feels like the move that's going away. What sort of things are going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, just make sure you're fueling, you know. Yeah. Going for the breakaway is like pretty intense, and sometimes that gets forgotten about a bit. And I guess it's just settling into your rhythm, and pretty soon once you find that rhythm, it's assessing who you're in the breakaway with, and then really thinking about how you can win that race. And you know, if for me, a lot of the time, that is trying to go solo and finding a sneaky place to go.
Yeah. Are you looking in as much detail as thinking not only who the other riders are in the break, but perhaps what their motivation for being in the break is?
Yeah,
if
definitely.
If you've got sprints or KOM riders that are after those points? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like, yeah, a lot of the time, if in the later stages of the tour, is you get the guys going for the early intermediate sprints, and you know, if you're always with one of those guys, you know they're going to bring you back for that, and that's something you got to think about. And yeah, then that plays into it, how you race. And if for me, a lot of the time is seeing whether I can drop people in a hard moment. And if I don't think I can, then I've got to find somewhere else to do it.
Okay, let's talk about bike and tech a little bit now, because to me it feels like you're someone that is really passionate and obsessed over all the little details on your bike. So give me some ideas of what are the little bits that you really focus on and obsess over that maybe set you apart from other people.
Yeah, I guess the massive bit is just my position on the bike, you know, and trying to get as small and as aerodynamic as possible. Yeah. And yeah, you know, the more aero I am, the faster I'm going to go. So that the position, tyres, wheels, frame, just everything.
So if you're all in on aero, is that regardless of the terrain of the race, really?
Yeah, I think pretty much, you know, most of the time we're going so fast, it's the weight's pretty irrelevant.
Okay, so the most aero setup all of the time. Now, in terms of, let's talk about wheel depth. This is something that obviously varies between different teams and different riders with preferences. You guys have the Metron RS 45 and the 60s. So are you running the deep boys all the time?
Yeah, now we've got the new RS, you know, shaved quite a bit of weight with those carbon spokes. And that's obviously pretty nice, stiffen them up as well. So yeah, for sure, always the 60s.
Okay, I like that. And then how does that impact with the wider rims, some of your tyre setup and choices?
Yeah, that's maybe something that we leave to the tech guys on the team, you know, and they do all the testing and make sure we're always on the fastest thing.
So you're really leaning on their expertise and knowledge to guide you on what perhaps is the best setup for you and the race that you're doing at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And we've got some knowledgeable guys on this team, and they look after us well.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally been speaking to Andreas, and some of the information and detail he's spoken through has been fascinating. Mm-hmm. A minute ago, you talked about the effort that some people perhaps don't realise goes into making it into one of the breakaways, and the demand that places on your body and how much fueling you have to do. So, I mean, I've read the numbers online of these crazy stats quoted on the insane fueling that you do in certain races. Mm. So give us a bit of an insight into how you're trying to achieve the optimum fueling and what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like anywhere between 120 and 160 an hour. And there's no way of doing it. You've just got to eat as much as you can and do it consistently. So there's no real time in it. I think it's just just trying to get it in. Like, I tend to just have a little notification on my Wahoo, and just every 25 minutes that pops up, and they just take it then.
So are you trying to use, say, a mix of different foods or liquids and foods, gels and solids? What's your sort of
preference? To be honest, I try and stick towards the solids because I'm a guy that sweats a lot, you know. So if I'm always taking carb mix, and I have no water to digest the carbs. So try to stick to solids and just smash water with that.
Non-stop eating.
Yeah.
So what is it about your physiology, do you think, that makes you successful in breakaways? Because from obviously an outsider perspective looking in, it seems like you've got this incredible resistance to fatigue rather than just purely relying upon like raw power. Mm-hmm. So explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. You know, I'm just super, super fatigue resistant, and maybe my fresh numbers aren't the best, but they don't drop off at all. And that's just perfect for a breakaway, you know, because it just tends to be a super hard day out, and real battle of attrition.
So do you think these sort of like longer, tougher, drawn out races really suit you better than, say, some of these shorter stages and races that we've seen that rely more on explosive power?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really experienced anything so short that if it's not race full gas from the start, then it's too short for me.
Yeah.
So it's more about the way that the race is raced, I think. And the tour this year is just every single day is raced from the start to the end. And that's what I need, really.
So having said that you perhaps can't match other riders in terms of raw power. Do you think this has really forced you to evolve and develop the way that you race so that you can refine those tactics and technique to really overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of goes back to actually when I said, like, when I was a junior, the way that I raced, and that's just evolved into what I am now. And I think a really big thing is being a pro cyclist or a racer in general is you need to figure out how to win. And I think that's quite a hard thing to do. And actually, I was just lucky that I kind of naturally set down that path that was actually the best for me. And once I've learned how to win, I've just stuck to it and kept trying to replicate it.
So, saying about learning how to win, when it comes to some of these attacks that have these established breakaways that you've really become kind of like famous and perfected for, how do you go about pacing these efforts? Because I'm assuming it's not like ride the last 50, 60K as hard as possible all the way. What are you doing to sort of pace that?
I guess you've got to consider a couple of things. I guess it's doing your best effort for that last bit.
Yeah.
But also you obviously need to keep in mind what the group's doing behind and So for me, I'm trying to like look at the time gap and maybe go a bit easier on the downhill than on the flat and just get real aero and then hit the climbs hard normally, you know? And that normally tends to yo-yo the gap a little bit. And I think that really, really starts to play with people's heads and demoralise them a bit.
Okay, and then in these situations, are you relying upon like your power meter in terms of going, right, I know what I can achieve for this duration and time, or are you just sort of relying upon feeling?
A bit of both, to be honest. You know, you've got to listen to your body. You know, it's if you're not feeling great, then you're going to have to back it off a bit. But if you're feeling great, then you're also going to go better than what you expect you can do. So, the power's a guide, but you've got to listen to your body for sure.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really good way of looking at it. Now, a lot of what we talked about so far, understandably, is about you and the efforts that you're doing, but it would be easy to just look at what you see on the TV coverage of the race go, look, Ben Healy is incredible, he does all this by himself, but does teamwork come into this and how can the team and other riders really help you to be in the right positions?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every stage of the breakaway, I think that can help, you know, it's for in the start, covering moves that maybe the early ones just to make sure people are in there or if there's a bigger group to have like teammates and numbers in and more teammates in the break, more numbers to play and sometimes these breaks get real tactical and just having that extra team help is a huge help. And also on the tour this year when I had the chance to go to yellow was you saw the job that the guys did for me and it was just incredible really.
Is there a significant difference in your approach to stage racing and one day races?
I think the stage races sometimes you're not really racing against the best guys all the time and you know, you are really going for it from the start to try and get into those breaks. Whereas, the one-day races like the Ardennes or the Worlds, it's actually you're racing quite passively until the final and it's really about saving the energy until those key moments. And so I think, it really is quite different in that respect.
Okay, and then has this success that you've experienced across this race season really changed how other riders perhaps perceive you or maybe mark you a lot more? How has that changed the racing dynamic that you're experiencing?
It hasn't changed too drastically, but I guess I also haven't done so many races this second half of the season to really feel that. I think just in the tour this year when I was kind of still in GC, that stage 20 was a super good one for me and I really did try to go for the break, but for sure no one was letting me go, which was slightly annoying, but I guess that's just I've got a bit of a mark on the back now.
So talking about say the stage victory in the tour and then riding in the yellow jersey, so what does it feel like when a plan like that really comes together, when you sort of got that feeling that you're adamant that a win is coming? What's the feelings that you've got?
It's ecstatic, to be honest. Coming into the last few K was just pretty emotional, really. It's the race that I grew up watching as a kid and, dreamt of winning the stage in the tour.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, and then finally, 2026, what's the big goal?
World Championship is for sure the dream race that I want to win and, the Stripy Jumper is a special one. So, for sure, that's definitely going to be a big goal. But again, getting the tour as well is, a big target.
Oh, mega. Well, mate, I wish you the best of luck. So, good stuff. Thanks for speaking to us, right?
Thanks.
Cheers, man. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Ben. I tell you what, it was really interesting to hear his thoughts and understand a little bit more about how he's forged his way to becoming one of the world's best riders. So, big thanks to Ben for taking the time to speak to us, but also to Vision Wheels and the EF Pro Cycling team for helping make this possible. So, if you did enjoy this video, let us know in the comments section down below. And as always, if you want to help support our channel, hit the subscribe button and turn on your notifications. Right, I'm out of here. See ya.